Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 18. Revelation 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the set of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of God. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today is a very important day. Yes, it's Singapore's 55th National Day Parade. But the second Sunday of August has always been a special day for Ang Mo Presbyterian Church. This is the Sunday we celebrate our church anniversary. So we have indented a fly pass, the mobile column, and a long weekend for you to enjoy. I'm just joking, all this belongs to the NDP. Some of you were probably there on 11 August 1991. I remember this time last year, we gathered in the school hall, young and old, to play the escape game. The fun and games will be followed by lunch and fellowship. And on one anniversary, it was very memorable. We went out as a church to Yishun Safra to have a bowling match. And the children also had a special lane to join in the fun. And on that anniversary, we crowned AMKPC's bowling king and queen. But on this 29th anniversary, things are very different. I am speaking to an empty hall. We have not met in person for some months now. I miss shaking your hands and greeting you. Peace. The peace of God be with you. We certainly cannot gather physically because we know that this virus is far from over. Cities which had the virus under control are now battling with a second wave. Now perhaps the effect of the COVID-19 has taken a toll on you. Job interviews are hard to come by. I was speaking to a brother, and retrenchment and job security are very real concerns. In another conversation, I learned that those who own small business face a struggle of survival. And for the youth and children, the months of restriction, isolation, and being cooped up at home has extended. You have become restless. And some among us have experienced loss of a loved one recently. What is God's word to us on this 29th anniversary? Now, I believe that God's message to us is we can persevere through the challenges and the uncertainties because Jesus holds the keys to our lives. Now, we heard the passage in Revelation chapter 1. John wrote the book of Revelations probably around AD 81 and 96. The early Christians were also going through a difficult challenge and uncertainties. Look at me first with at verse 9. And John says that he was on the island of Patmos. Now, what was John doing at Patmos? Now, this disciple of Jesus was not on a vacation. Patmos is not a place for picnics, beaches, or villas. It is an island located southwest of the coast of Turkey. Patmos means my killing. And it is a barren island made of rocks and quarries. The land cannot produce any crop. So if you are at Patmos during John's time, you are not meant to survive. The Roman government uses this barren island to banish criminals and to get rid of them. But why was John there? He tells us it was on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John was isolated to this island because of his faith and his service to the Lord. Now, John, at this point of time, was probably in his 80s, shipped to this deserted island to waste his life away. You see, during John's time, the Roman Empire persecuted the early Christians. When Domitian was the emperor, he ordered that all citizens must worship the emperor as Lord and God. And Christians had to go to the temple to take a pinch of incense and throw it on the fire and say at the altar that Caesar is Lord and curse Jesus. And if they do not worship the state emperor, they will be thrown into the lion's den, burned on the pole, or banished to an island. Oh, of course, today we are not facing such extreme persecution or suffering. But as I mentioned earlier, You could be facing the challenges of different sorts, your health, your livelihood. Some of you are probably facing a family crisis, fearful of the future. What can we hold on for our strength, our comfort, and hope? Why should we persevere? To believe and to follow Jesus, especially in such times. And in verses 5 and 6, John reminds us of the foundation of our faith, the person that we have trusted, who Jesus is, and the eternal promises that believers have in Jesus. Let us look at who is Jesus in verse 5. First of all, Jesus is the faithful witness. Now, some Sundays back, we heard about the person of Jesus. Jesus demonstrated through his words and action that he is the Son of God, and his mission is to seek and to save the lost. And he died to save us. And Jesus stood as that faithful witness of God's love to us. He did not shun away from the cross. And he's our faithful witness who suffered and persevered till death on the cross. He is our faithful witness. But Jesus is more than a faithful witness in life and death and dying for us. John also tells us that Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. Now, Jesus as the firstborn of the dead means he is the prototype or the standard or the example for believers. He has raised from the dead, and he will raise those who believe in him and have died. And in Revelation 20, verse 14, it tells us that Jesus has control over death and will destroy this enemy. Now, if we look at verse 5, it captures three stages of Jesus' life and ministry. In his life, he was a faithful witness. At his resurrection, he became the firstborn from the dead, setting an example of what it will be like for Christians after death. And the final stage is at his coming again. And he says that Jesus is the ruler of kings on earth. There may be people or powers or those who lord over the people of God, but these powers will eventually submit to the ruler of kings of the earth, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, who Jesus is should lead us to praise and to worship him, even in difficult times. And this is something we see in verses 5 and 6. John bursts out in a doxology of praise. And in this doxology, John tells us why Jesus is worthy of praise even in difficult times. He tells us, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Firstly, Jesus loves us. John prays God because of his love. You know, if you look into the Bible, it doesn't just say that God loves us. God's love is seen in actions. And Jesus demonstrated God's love by dying on the cross for us. The only way for us to be set free from sin is through his blood. And that is the extent that God goes to love you and I. And that alone is worthy of our praise, despite the circumstances that we are in. The reason that God loves and saves us is not just to free us from sin or to enter into his kingdom. Verse 6 tells us of God's purpose of saving us, that we are to be priests to his God and Father. Now, what is a priest? A priest is someone who keeps his life holy. And Jesus says that we are to be the priests to his God and Father. A priest has direct access to God. And a priest has the privilege to serve God and to point others to God. Brothers and sisters, we have heard the extent that God would go to save us and his grand purpose for his children. He loves us so much that he freed us from the debt of sin by his blood. And his vocation for you and I is to be his priests, having direct access to God and to serve him wherever that he calls us and plays us. You know, I'd like to encourage us to make a response at this point. Jesus is our faithful witness who patiently endured the cross. And the response that we can give to him is to be a faithful witness in such time. To live out our priestly vocation faithfully, pointing others to Jesus. Now, in this book, Waters from a Deep Well, is a historical study of Christian spirituality from the early church to modern-day missions. And in the early centuries, the key driver that led the church to grow physically and spiritually was when believers stood firm during times of persecution and challenging times. And some of them became martyrs of the faith. They died for their faith. And these believers was not so much concerned about how they die. What matters to them is how they live for Jesus. And what kept them going is an eternal perspective. The author puts it this way. They saw life in this world as a prelude and a preparation for life in the next world, which they view as completion and perfection of this world. It made them value life as it is, but it also gave them courage to sacrifice their lives in anticipation of another, greater one. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us to know that he remains as our faithful witness who loves us. He has secured our salvation and he has put us in this high position as priests of God. Let us respond by pressing on in our walk with God faithfully. And we do that by strengthening our basics, being consistent in reading his word, encouraging one another with our fellowship at cell group meetings, looking out for one another in need. And let us emulate Christ as his faithful witness and priest in our homes, our workplace, and school. Well, if you look at verse 10, John tells us that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day refers to the day of worship, because it's a Sabbath. Now, even though John was in exile and living among piles of rock, it was Sunday, and John was worshiping, praying, no doubt, possibly singing, indeed crying out to God. And this is something for us to emulate. Alone in a forsaken place, it did not stop John from worshiping God. And today, although we may not be able to gather in church, it should not deter us from worshiping God. So let us guard the Sunday worship tightly. It is a worship to the Lord. We have seen who Jesus is. He is our faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, rulers of all earthly power. And we heard what he has done for us. He loves us. He freed us from our sin by his blood. And his work in us includes making us priests, God's vocation for us. In the next section, in verses 12 to 16, it tells of Jesus as the coming judge who possesses all authority. Now, as John was worshiping, he heard a voice sounded like a trumpet, and it moved him to turn around to see what it was. As it turns out, John had a vision of the risen, glorified, and ruling Jesus. Now let us discern what John saw. Firstly, John saw one like the Son of Man. Now this phrase, Son of Man, was first mentioned in the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, the Son of Man is the one who has dominion over all people, nations, and languages. And then John describes Jesus' clothing. He was clothed in a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. The robe and the sash is an attire of a king and a priest, a high priest. Jesus is the king of the cosmos, the world, and the great high priest for his people. The hairs of his head were white like white wool and snow. Daniel 7 describes God the same way as the Ancient of Days. Now, the repeat in Revelation tells us the unity of God the Father and the Son as the Ancient of Days. A sharp two-edged sword of the mouth tells that he is the judge that will bring truth and judgment. Now, the vision isn't a literal interpretation of what Jesus looks like. And we are not meant to put all this together and say that this is a picture of Jesus. It is important to discern the message behind the images. And the picture here, and in line with the rest of the book, tells that Jesus is the coming judge who will judge evil and sin, the physical and the spiritual realm. Brothers and sisters, perhaps our perception of Jesus is a handsome shepherd carrying a lamb in his arms. We like that image because it brings peace and comfort. But there is a side of Jesus that we need to come to terms with. Jesus is undoubtedly a loving and caring shepherd. But the vision tells us that he is also the one that will bring God's final judgment with power and authority. And the vision is a warning to the churches, which John will write about in the following chapters, that we must remain faithful in our faith and in our service to the Lord. When John saw Jesus in all his glory and might, he fell at his feet as though dead. Look at verse 17. He probably thought that that was the end of him. Yet Jesus assured and comforted his faithful disciple. He placed his right hand, the hand of authority and approval, on John. And when Jesus touched him, he comforted and assured by now his elderly disciple. And the first thing that Jesus tells John is, "Fear not." Now those words, "fear not," goes deeper than just John's encounter with Jesus, that he was fearful of that vision. It is as if Jesus telling John, "Do not fear of the situation. You may be separated. You may have lost your loved ones. Uncertain, surrounded with problems. You may be old, your health is failing. You feel like you are wasting away." Jesus says, "Fear not." Now, why can we fear not when the world is in chaos? Why can we not be afraid when things doesn't seem to go our way? When our health is not the best, how can we fear not? In verses 17 to 18, Jesus tells us that we need not fear because he holds the keys to our life. Let's look at verse 17. Jesus says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last." Now, this is a phrase in the Old Testament that is used to describe God. The first and the last refers to God as the creator and God as the sovereign one at the end of history. And of course, everything inside, in the middle also. He is the origin and the goal of all history. He has the first word in creation and will have the last word in the new creation in God's kingdom. Jesus is the first and the last, and that implies that whatever the situation, whatever mistakes we have done in life, God can still fulfill his good purpose in our lives. In verse 18, Jesus says that I have the keys of death and Hades. Now, death is something that we do not have control over. And the Hades is the realm of the deaf and the underworld. You know, when someone holds the keys to an apartment, he is likely the owner of that place. And this person has the authority to unlock the premise. And so when Jesus says that I have the keys of death and Hades, that means that he has the authority over death and the spiritual realm. And what it implies is that death is not the last stage of the believer, but it is the resurrection of our bodies. He has the keys to give us life. He has the power and authority to deliver and to give life after death. Brothers and sisters, perhaps we wonder, how can God be present when everything around us seems to be struggling or suffering in some way? Jesus reveals to John that things are not only as they seem. There is more to reality than meets the eye. And this passage in Revelation reminds us that whatever the circumstances that we are in, Jesus is our faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the rulers of all earthly power. He loves us, and his work in us includes making us a kingdom of priests to God. And Jesus is the coming judge with the power to destroy evil and death, the authority to give life. Our circumstances may not change, but if we understand who Jesus is to us now and in the life to come, it should change everything about how we think and should live. And if anything, it tells us that we can persevere through the challenges and the uncertainty, because Jesus holds the keys to our life. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, for 29 years of your faithfulness and love to us as a community, we give you thanks and praise. Give us courage to be your faithful witness. At home, in school, at work, and in the community. Lead us, Lord, to be a vibrant church, growing and influencing others towards Christ-likeness. Enable us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to persevere, come what it may, to rest in the truth of who you are and what you have done for us. To be rooted in faith that you hold the keys to our life, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.